I want to ask you to turn with me this evening into Luke's record of the events of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2. And I want to ask you to notice something with me tonight that's said about Mary after Jesus was born. You stop to think that as a human, even though a human who had been blessed in great ways, a human who had had a conversation with an angel, a human who had watched God open doors through that 9 months that she carried his son, yet she was a human. And after everything happened, the shepherds came after the baby was born. All that happened, I can just sort of picture in my mind the humanity that said, what now? This has happened, and this has happened, and this is, what now? Have you ever asked that question about your own life? Watching what God had done and then saying, okay, what's next? What now? I want to ask you to read with me from Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. And I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture something that Mary did in the face of all of that events, all of that sequence of events that surrounded the birth of Jesus, both before and after. Read with me, if you would, from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And of course, that they is the shepherds. They came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard, and all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There are two perspectives that are spoken of in these verses 16 through 19. There's the shepherd's perspective, and there's Mary's perspective. The shepherd had been told, shepherds had been told by the angel the good news that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. And the angel didn't say, now you need to pack up and go to Bethlehem, but the angel did say, you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the certain implication of that is, it's worth our going to go find him. It's worth the effort to seek to draw near this Savior. And so they went with haste, and they came and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like they had been promised. You know, that's one good thing about the Word of God. What God promises, we find to be true, just like He promises it. And when they had seen this child, they went, and everywhere they went, they made known what they had seen. And everybody that listened to them just wondered at it. They were marveled at it, because why were these shepherds given this vision? Why were these people that were out with the animals? Why didn't the rest of us know? This is a marvelous thing. And yet we don't find anybody else trying to find the baby to worship. But Mary didn't go around talking about it. Mary didn't go out telling people about her son. Mary didn't start saying, oh, this is what the angel said about him. But let me tell you what Mary did do. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved, I'd like to share with you tonight some thoughts from these words and the words that are used, the Greek words that are used here, three different words to call attention to. Because I think all of us need to do that same thing that Mary did with what she heard about Jesus. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Things. She kept all these things. You know, my wife and I have got a keepsake box of things that we collected when our son was born first, and then 3 years later when our daughter was born. We collect the little things. I want you to understand that that's not what she kept. The word that's translated things literally means utterances. She kept all these statements. She kept all these things that had been uttered to her. Now think about three different things, three different sets of things that had been uttered to her. First of all, there was the utterance of the angel that told her that she was going to have a son. That she need not be afraid, that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her, that she was going to conceive the child by the Holy Ghost, and that that holy thing which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. Now that's a pretty powerful utterance to a young lady at the very beginning of her adult life. You're going to have this holy child. She got the utterance that Joseph got when the angel had spoken to Joseph in a dream. And told him that he didn't need to be afraid to take Mary to be his wife. And I can picture in my head from the human standpoint that he went to Mary and he said, okay, let's go ahead with this marriage. What made you change your mind? Well, the angel told me that I didn't have to be afraid, that this was a holy child. It was conceived of the Holy Ghost. We were to call his name Jesus, because he was going to save his people from their sins. And then the shepherds come once the child was born, and they had talked to an angel, or they had heard from an angel. I don't know how much conversation they had. I can't say they talked to the angel, but the angel definitely talked to them. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save, and unto you is born this Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I got to thinking about the combination of those three sequence of things that had been uttered to Mary. She kept these things. The word kept translates from a word which meant to keep closely. She closely pieced together all of those things that were said. Now think about it. She was given a promise. She had been told that she would bear a child, bear a son. And if you'll look with me from verses 31, Luke 1, verses 31 through 33. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There was a message given to her that not only was she going to bear a child, but she was going to bear a child whose name was to be Jesus, and he would be the Son of God, and he would rule on the throne forever. Now think about, that's enough for her to begin to say, hey, what's going on here? But think for a moment the effect that these things had as she kept them in her heart, as she brought them together, as she pieced all of these things that were uttered. These things were affirmation to her of what was told to her. The same message was given to Joseph. The message was given to the shepherds. Two other witnesses affirmed to her exactly what had been said. Now, folks, one of the things about the Word of God is that God doesn't just make some statement to us in passing in the midst of all of our lives and leave us scratching our heads. Well, did he really mean that? Did I hear that right? Was that accurate? God affirms his word. He's given the same message in the Old Testament and affirmed it in the New Testament. He's given the word of Jesus. He's given the ministry of the Holy Spirit to confirm the things that Jesus said. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, something was to be established as truth. Listen to what we're told in the book of Romans. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, the witness of the Holy Spirit within our life, even in the times of struggle and even in the times of suffering in our life, is a reminder to us that as Jesus suffered, we may also suffer, but as he was raised and was glorified, we will be glorified with him. You see, it's a marvelous thing to us in the midst of a world that's unclear, in the midst of a world that changes what it says, depends on who happens to be doing the talking at any given time, who happens to come to power, who happens to get kicked out of power, who happens to be the loudest wheel that gets the squeaky wheel that gets the attention. We hear a lot of different things in this world. But the one thing that Mary had was able to keep in her mind, which was an assurance to her, was that the message that she was told, the message that Joseph was told, had now been told to these total strangers who came to her and brought her the assurance of that message that happened in their life. Have you ever thought about the fact that as you look around and you experience the fellowship and the gospel of Jesus Christ with other believers, that the work of God's grace in Jesus Christ in their life affirms the truth of the fact that he's done exactly the same thing in your life? The witness of the Holy Spirit in your life is an affirmation of the way that he witnesses in my life? And I can keep all these things. I can keep them closely together. I can keep them kept carefully together and ponder them. I can ponder. I can combine them. And I found it interesting that as I was reading this word, that was the different levels of this word that was used as translated as ponder. There's one way in which the word was often meant to aid. You ever thought about the fact that our thinking about the Word of God is the help that we need in our lives? She kept what she was told. Do we keep the Word of God carefully and put it in place within our life? Do we keep what I'm told this time when I read the Scripture and piece it together with what I was told before when I read this same Scripture? And that it grows, like it was said in the Old Testament, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The Lord gives it to us in ways that we can understand it. But when we keep it and ponder it, it grows within our lives. How much do we meditate upon the Scriptures and upon the utterances that God gives us? How much do we chew on it? You ever thought about that? We think about that. A lot of people today don't have the opportunity to see, but you ever watched a cow chew the cud? It's something they've eaten, but then they go back and they get more out of it. When we have the things that the Lord gives us in His Word, if we ponder those things in our meditation, there was a big thing a number of years ago about different ways of Eastern meditation. I'm going to tell you, we don't need Eastern meditations to have peace in our lives. What we need is biblical meditations. When we have the things that are uttered to us from the Scriptures that God sends by His Word, that God sends by His message, that we take them and keep them and ponder them. Listen to three things that we're told in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And that's a question. How does a young man... And David, as the author of this psalm, was speaking from the perspective of his own life. How does a young lady, how does a man, how does a woman cleanse his path? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. By keeping it, contemplating it, and taking heed to it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid. Isn't that what Mary did with the utterances that were given to her? That she kept them in her heart? Those things that she pondered became the help in her life. Think about what she went through. First of all, there was the journey of a lady that was heavily expecting, 8 months old, 8 months into her pregnancy, almost 9 months, almost ready to deliver. And yet she had to go from the city of Nazareth up in the north part of the kingdom. And she had to come all the way to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem was south of Jerusalem. She had to come all the way down and through and come to Bethlehem. And there was no air-conditioned car. There was no bus to ride on. She either rode an animal or walked. She had a pretty tough journey. She and her espoused husband, Joseph, were by themselves that night when that baby was born. There was no medical staff. There was no bright, clean hospital. And within a few days after the birth of Jesus, they had shepherds that came that night. Later on, Joseph was given a message and told him to get up and take Mary and the baby, and the probability was this was about a month after the birth, he was to take Mary and the baby and go to Egypt because Herod was about to try to kill the baby. And so here she is, she's gone from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and now all of a sudden with the baby, she's headed to Egypt. In the midst of all of the struggles that she had, the messages that were given to her, the encouragement that she drew from the certainty of that message aided her in the time of her difficulty. You see, brothers and sisters, the Word of God, if we keep it and ponder it in our lives, we draw from it the help that we need. We draw from it the assurance that we need. We draw from it the encouragement that we need. We need ways to repent and to change our sinful path in life and to cleanse our way. How do we do that? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his path? How's he going to straighten up his act? How's he going to change what he's doing? By giving heed to the Word of God. You see, keeping and pondering is a way that enables us to change our own human ways, to follow the Lord in His way that He would have us to go. It's our aid in going. Then you can look back into Psalm 19. Go from Psalm 19. Keep your finger at Psalm 119 because we're going to come back to it in just a minute. But go from Psalm 119 over to Psalm 19. And look with me in verse 14. The psalmist issues a plea, a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How is the meditation of our heart acceptable in the sight of God? When we keep His Word, and His Word becomes our meditation. His Word, His instruction, His teaching, His promise, these things become the things that we ponder, that we think upon, that we piece together in our life and find it being the puzzle that falls into place as God brings it to us. And then if we go back to Psalm 119 again, look over later on in the psalm in verses 97 and 98 and look at the attitude. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 19:14 says, let my words be acceptable, the meditation of my mouth, my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, I love your law, your truth, your word is my meditation. And God's law will be acceptable in His sight. God affirmed by the witness of the Holy Spirit His promise to Mary, by that promise being repeated in various ways to other people. God affirms our relationship with Him by the witness of the Holy Spirit in our life. His Word is the meditation that we keep and ponder that is pleasing to Him. Now that's true in a personal way, but I want to conclude tonight by sharing with you the thought that that's something that we need to do in our corporate life as a church as well. We're given instruction that we're to go as witnesses. We're given instruction that we are to be witnesses in the land around us, in the community around us. The disciples were told that they were to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, but it started at home, in Jerusalem and Judea. We're to be a testimony where we are. How do we accomplish that? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today that come up with a lot of programs. They come up with a lot of plans. But I want to tell you, the most effective motivation for our testimony in our life is to ponder what God has already told us. To keep His word. The shepherds had that message given to them, and they saw the truth, and they couldn't keep quiet about it. Everywhere they went, they told somebody about it. I'm going to tell you, folks, if we ponder the grace of God in our life and in our minds, we're not going to be able to keep it bottled up. The more we know about it, the more we see it affirmed in our life, the more we're going to be the ones who go and tell wherever we go about it. Let's conclude tonight by going over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Mary kept those things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. She thought about them. She chewed on them. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mary kept these things. Things that are good. Things that are pure. Things that are true. These are the things that God says, aren't they? They're things that are worthy of praise. They're things that are full of virtue and excellence. If there be any of these things, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do. What you've been told, what God has told us, and what we've seen happen in the lives of other people, do. Walk that way. And the God of peace shall be with you. Folks, I'm going to tell you that we have idealized a lot of things about the scene at the manger. It's been sanitized and it's in our minds about its cleanliness. We forget it was an animal shelter. I don't think the smell of Johnson's baby powder was real strong there. There was not a lot of comfort built in that place. There was difficulty that was associated with the human experience there. And yet the message is that out of that came God's deliverance of a Savior. God has given us affirmation of it. I see it. I see the hope of salvation in your faces and in your lives. And I know that the joy that I find in mine is not alone. I watch lives be changed from devastation to new hope. And I know that it's not just a theoretical statement. It is a real power. Keep those things. Hear those things. Ponder them in your heart. And the things that you've received, and that you see, and that you hear, and that you keep, do. And the assurance is that the God of peace shall be with you. Folks, I hope we can all be like Mary. I hope we can all be like the shepherd. Boy, when it was new, they went telling everybody about it. But you know, somewhere along the line, the new wears off. The excitement dies down. Life goes back to normal. Life gets to be routine. That's where we need to ponder the reality of the grace of God that is far from routine. You and I may live in a routine of life, but we are far from routine. We have been bought in the blood of Jesus Christ. May we do and keep those things and walk in the peace of our Lord. May God help is my prayer.